Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. I'm a fixer. That's my personality. If I see something that needs to be fixed, I may not know how to fix it, but I'm going to try to fix it. You can look around every house that I've ever lived in as a dad, as a husband, and there's probably things that you can see that aren't necessarily truly fixed, but they look like somebody tried to fix them. And that's me. I just like fixing things. And not just, you know, if a cupboard falls off, in the kitchen, I want to try to fix that. And by the way, I'm not completely stupid. I can fix some things. But I remember when I tried to replace the alternator on my truck, and I got the alternator and looked on. Listen, I'm a student of YouTube University, okay? YouTube University, I'm a student. I have done so many things just by watching some dude on YouTube with a terrible camera fix something in his car. And I'm like, I could do that. And I got my alternator all in. I took everything out. And I'm like, this is awesome. I did it. I fixed the alternator on my truck, on my 2004 F-150. I did it. And I start driving, and I'm like, I don't think I really fixed that, because I'm seeing some new flashing lights on the dashboard that I've never seen before. And it's saying, like, I can't remember what it said, something about electrical something or another and no power. And I'm like, this is bad. This is bad news. So I brought it to the mechanic and said, hey, I did everything right. It's a brand new alternator. I don't know what I did wrong, man. And he says, I'll figure it out. Could be this, could be this. I'm like, oh, my goodness, it'd be so expensive. I wanted to save money. Now I'm spending money. And he calls me about a half hour later after I kind of got my ride back. He's like, hey, the alternator would work a lot better if you completely plugged it in. And I'm like, oh, okay. I thought I clicked it in, but I didn't. And then it worked. I like fixing things. And unfortunately, that sometimes passes into even relationship stuff. Sometimes if me and Marissa are having a discussion of sorts where there's a little bit of disagreement, sometimes, you know what's needed? Space. Some distance, a little bit of time to cool down. And somebody's like, well, I want to fix this right now. And I try to fix it. And guess what I end up doing? Just like I do with the alternator. I make it a little bit worse. And I really don't fix it. I'm a fixer. I try to be that way. And as someone that admits to being a fixer, and maybe that's you, you say, I'm kind of the same way. You know, whether it's something at the house or whether it's my relationship with my wife or kids or whatever, I'm always want to make sure everything is perfect and right and fixed. I'm going to give you a word of caution. It is always unwise to tell your friend or your spouse or your kids or really any other person that they need fixing. You need fixing. You need some help, man. That never really goes well, does it, Dan? It really doesn't. But just the same, there is a lot that needs fixing in this world. There is probably a lot that needs fixing in your life and in your relationships. Our homes and our communities all around us. The to-do list is extensive, and it goes on, and it's exhaustive. And the good news is, church, the good news is it is not up to you, and it is not up to me to fix everything. As much as I'd like to, it's not up to me, and it's not up to you to fix everything. While there are things that we can fix, okay, there are things that we can make right, and we should, so much of it is better left to God. And we're talking today about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Rapha. Last week we talked about Jehovah Nissi. And remember, if you weren't here last week, the name Elohim is a Hebrew word that means God, the creator, kind of the big broad name for God, the one true God. And Jehovah is that personal name of God, Jehovah. And when they, in the Hebrew language, they would kind of put adjectives at the end of that word Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi. And Jehovah is the name, and Nissi means that fights our battles. And this word, Jehovah Rapha, is the God who heals. And the Hebrew word Rapha is usually translated in Scripture and in our English Bible to the word heal, but the heart of the meaning is really to mend or repair or restore something to its normal or useful state. It's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who mends, the God who puts things back together. This name, again, in our Bibles, we'll read the scriptures and we'll just see the word, you know, the Lord or God. But in the original language, and if this is why it's important to study your Bible, you'll see that it's a deeper meaning. This name, Jehovah Rapha, is found more than 60 times in the Old Testament. But it's first found in Exodus chapter 15. Remember this, church, and this is really the heart of the message. We're going to be out of here quick. He is the only one who can make you whole. Jehovah Rapha is the only one that can make you truly complete. You may think that there's other things that you need in your life to have a full and successful and meaningful and purposeful life. And if I can just get... He is the only one that can make you whole, that can make you complete. We search and search and search and chase after so many things that we think will complete us. And by the way, not bad things all the time. Sometimes they're good things. Maybe you want a marriage or kids or this better job or whatever, fill in the blank. He is the only one that can make you complete and that can make you whole. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, I'm going to read it to you this morning. Moses is leading the children of Israel, and it says, "Then Moses led Israel on from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without finding water." That's brutal. Life can be hard sometimes. Life's hard for these Israelites. They're traveling. They had just left Egypt. They had just been rescued as captives from Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and God led Moses to let my people go. And they came out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea. Remember that miracle that we know about where the waters parted, and the Israelites walked on dry ground across the Red Sea. And now they're journeying in the wilderness, and they've gone 3 days without water. He led them out of Egypt, out of slavery. He redeemed them. He set them free. He parted the waters. They were excited. They rejoiced. And now they find themselves in the middle of this dark and lonely wilderness with no water, with nothing to drink. And let me say this, just because a person has been redeemed, just because a person has given their heart and life to Jesus Christ and been set free, does not mean that they will be exempt from the burdens of life. It's like, oh, if I just give my life to Jesus, then everything gets easier, and then all my problems will go away. No way, man. I wish it was that simple. I wish that's how it would go. But just because you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and maybe have a change of direction does not mean all the burdens of life just disappear. God does not set you free, though, to abandon you. Although we are not exempt from the burdens of this life, it does not mean that God sets us free just to leave us alone, to fend for ourselves and abandon us. He does not do that. There's a famous preacher from centuries ago, Charles Spurgeon. He was called the Prince of Preachers, a very famous preacher from years and years and years ago. And he pastored the largest Protestant church of his day. He had the largest ministry. His books, I have many of his books, and they've been a help to me. But Charles Spurgeon also suffered from deep wounds and struggled with emotional and physical illnesses. He was a very, very depressed man. And he said this. This is a quote that Charles Spurgeon, this famous preacher, this is what he said. He said, "There is no university for a Christian like that of sorrow and trial." Sickness and suffering and burdens and trials are no respecter of persons. They don't leave you alone because your life's already tough. They don't avoid you because they know that you had a rough past. Sickness and suffering and burdens are no respecters of person, and life is filled. And this is not a depressing message. I'm telling you, this is just the truth. I'm giving you truth this morning. Life is full of battles and burdens, but God is with us. God is with you. He is right by you, and He does not waste any of your pain. He does not waste any of our pain. Life is full of burdens and trials. And just because you give your heart to Christ doesn't mean that those will disappear. But He is with you. He is by you. He is a God that is near. And He does not waste any of our pain. So when the Israelites, they get to, and I'll read the scriptures in verse 23, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. They're walking through the wilderness, and they have been journeying for 3 days, and they have no water, and they are thirsty. In verse number 22, I'll read it again. It says this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. They get to a place where there's water. Here we go. This is great. Now we can have something to drink. And they find out that this water that they want to drink, that they don't so desperately feel as though they need, is bitter water that is undrinkable. Just imagine 3 days without water, and then you see the water, and you go from gulping it down to gagging it out because it's bitter. And that word Marah means bitter. It's bitter water. There are many bitter experiences and disappointments in life. Some of you are going through those bitter and disappointing experiences right now, and you came to church to kind of get away from that, and I'm here reminding you about it again, aren't I? Because there's truth in this. There's hope in all of this. There are bitter experiences and disappointments in life. Sometimes you are sick, and other times you are sick and tired. Complaining has never solved anything, has it? But it feels so good sometimes, doesn't it? Listen, maybe today you're bitter. Maybe you are sick and tired of things constantly coming against you. Maybe you have some bitterness even towards God. We're like, why do you keep letting these things happen to me? They went for the water. Here it is. Here's our miracle. We finally have something to drink, and it's bitter. And it's almost like it's hard not to look up at God and say, what are you doing? Does life just not taste good to you anymore? Man, this is just, it's bitter. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? After they tried the water, it's bitter at Marah. And they say, well, Moses, you're our leader. What are we supposed to drink, man? In verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. It's a really cool miracle. There's a tree there in the same place in Marah, and he takes the tree, and he throws it on the bitter, undrinkable water, and suddenly the water now is drinkable. It's sweet. And it was a miracle here, and it would later, just like last week's story of Jehovah Nissi, it would later point to a greater meaning, to a greater story. Jesus, the scriptures say that he drank that bitter cup of the cross. He died for the sins of the whole world. He recognized that we could not do it on our own. It was an impossible situation for us. We cannot be perfect. We cannot not sin. And Jesus drank that bitter cup. And that tree that he died upon, the cross, makes that which is bitter sweet. Because of his death on the cross, on that tree, this tree that was thrown in the bitter waters that made it sweet, Jesus died on a tree for you and for me. So that the bitterness of sin that pushes us away from God, now we have a way to God. He works all things together for good. And this tree at Marah had been there the whole time. Really, think about it. It wasn't like it just grew out of nowhere. And Moses didn't see it until he prayed. Moses didn't see it until he prayed. And then God showed him this tree. He threw it on the waters. They became sweet and they were able to drink. When you're hurting, when you're struggling, when you're going through a trial, I saw a quote. It says, do you run to the phone or to the throne? It's really easy. Listen, I'm a venter too. Sometimes it's just nice to call someone and just vent. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But oftentimes we're venting to everybody else but the Lord. We want everybody to hear our problems. We want everybody to validate us. We want everybody to make us feel better. And we're running to everybody that really can't fix it and really can't give us peace. They may be able to say encouraging things that make us feel better for a moment, but guess what? The phone call is over and we're still stuck in that. I'm not saying, listen, believe me, church, I have people in my life that God has put in my life for me to talk to. But I'm telling you, church, when trials are there, do you run to the phone or to the throne? Do you go to God at all? When you go through trials and tests, man, think back to this where Moses prayed and this tree was there, this miraculous thing, and he threw it in the waters. Listen, go to him. There is no hurt, no pain, no situation, no trial, sickness, sorrow that Jesus did not die for. No matter what you're going through, the tree says, this is how much I love you, and he loves you. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And we saw in verse 25 that he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, verse 26, and said, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And this is the first instance that we see the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Listen, with all the things that you're going through, God is not the one being tested. You are. The faithfulness of God is never put to... Listen, God already knew what was in their hearts in this passage. He wanted them to see what was in their hearts. Difficulties never test the faithfulness of God. Trials and challenges never test the goodness of God. They test the faith and trust of God's people. We do that, though, so often. It's like, well, God, why aren't you taking care of me? And we think that these difficulties are we question the... No. It's always, we are always the one at being tested. Our faith is being tested, not his faithfulness. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. When we are tested, when we go through trials, it creates endurance in us. And let endurance, the scriptures say, have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. The trials in our life are there for a reason. God has not abandoned us. He is with us. He is teaching us. He is showing us. He is putting things back together. He is Jehovah Rapha. The Old Testament and the New Testament both give stories of God's power to heal. God's power to put, we saw even in the miracles of Christ, how he gave the blind sight. We know that God is a God who heals. But even if God heals in this life, physical healing, we're still all going to grow old and die one day. There's pastors out there that will advocate kind of a prosperity type gospel that's like, well, if you just sow a seed and give to the church, you'll never be sick. I'm naming and claiming I'm never going to be sick. And they kind of make it so that you can talk yourself out of being sick. And that's not biblical. It's not the true gospel. We're going to get sick. So we look in the scriptures, there's some of the greatest people of faith, and they had sickness. I mean, look what Job faced. Look what Paul. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. Whether it was a physical ailment, we're not exactly sure, but it could have been. Where he just, people live with sickness. It's just the way it is. There's a scripture, one guy, Epaphroditus in the New Testament, that became sick and almost died. A follower of God, whose name is in the Bible. Paul healed others, but could not heal himself. The bottom line is all healing is from God. All healing is from God. I'm not saying, listen, we go to the doctor, we take medicine, we trust God with the outcome. If God chooses to heal, hallelujah. I've prayed prayers for people that God would heal them, and they didn't heal. We have to just trust the Lord and know that he is Jehovah. He may not heal the physical ailment, but he heals the hurting heart when we do suffer loss. That's Jehovah Rapha. The greatest healing is spiritual healing, because spiritual healing is not temporal here on this earth, but it's eternal. And the story that we see of this name in Exodus chapter 15, it started with a water problem. They didn't have any water to drink. Just before this, God had parted the waters at the Red Sea. God had purified the waters at Marah. God provided all. Remember last week we talked about how he hit the rock and the water came out and they were able to drink? He provided all the water that they needed. Verse 27 says that he gives them 12 springs of water and 70 shade trees. God provided what they needed. He put things back together. Listen, you are going to have physical tests and you are going to have recurring problems over and over and over again in life. They don't go away. They don't stop. No matter how much money is in your bank account, problems are still going to come. But Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord who mends and repairs and put things back together, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. That is who he is. He is the great physician. He can heal your bitterness. He can heal your sorrows and anxieties, your burdens, your body. He can do it. He can make you whole. He can provide healing today for your soul, for your past, for your present, and for your problems now. He's the God who makes things complete. Some of you are feeling empty. We feel like there's something missing. And God is the one who restores. God is the one who heals. We sang it today. He brings freedom to the captives and good news to the poor. Healing to the broken and joy to those who mourn. He ruins, he restores. That's who he is. God will restore and refresh you today. In the passage that we read, what exactly God, because he says in verse number 26, if you do what I say, I won't give you any of the diseases that the Egyptians have. We don't know exactly what diseases he was talking about in this passage here. It's just inferred that there's going to be a healing, that he's going to restore them. He's going to fix them. God has it covered. God knows what's going on. He will heal and restore his people because God desires, it's God's heart, desires for his people to be as he created them to be. I try to pray as much as I possibly can when I'm talking to the Lord. Say, Lord, make me who you want me to be, whatever it takes. Make me the man that you want me to be. And whatever it takes, please do it. That's our need. That's our need. We see it on and on in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, they said, God said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We see it throughout the Psalms of calling out for God to heal and restore. Isaiah 53 verses 1 is talking about, it's a prophecy of Jesus coming one day to die on the cross. And this is what it says in Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. That's a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, written thousands of years before Jesus ever came. If we go back to the meaning of this word, to restore something, Jehovah Rapha, to restore something to its normal and useful state, we see this purpose beautifully connected with Isaiah's words. He was wounded so that we could be healed. He died on the cross so that we could live. So that we could live. 1 Peter 2 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Listen, church, whether you grew up in church or not, the truth is we were all astray at one point. We were all away from God. We all were lacking. We needed fixing. We were broken. We needed healing. And Jehovah Rapha is the one who heals. He provided that healing in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. He rose from the grave on the third day. We're going to celebrate it in a few weeks. And really, it's a celebration every week. But on Easter, we look back especially. He rose again for you and for me. He restored our relationship with God through the sacrifice that we might renew our purpose. Listen, he saves you for a purpose. It's not just to get you out of hell and give you a home in heaven. No, he saves your soul to change you, to transform you, to give you a better life, to give you greater purpose. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Nothing has ever needed fixing more, nor has anything ever been fixed more perfectly, more completely, and more finally, because he's Jehovah Rapha. I can look at my life. I can look at my life, and I can think about what God has done in my life and in my family, how he restores what's broken. I can think about the things that the life that I have lived away from God, even in ministry before we ever moved here, and the life that I lived of pride, of arrogance, of addictions, and in secrets and in shame, never thinking that there was any hope for me. I'm lost, undone. I just need to figure this out on my own. And if not, I'll just die with these secrets and hopefully be the husband and dad I need to be. And God said, no, man. No, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out of this. It's not going to feel great. It's going to hurt, but I'm going to deliver you because I'm the God that puts things back together. And what I thought was broken beyond repair, God, Jehovah Rapha, put back together to make an even more beautiful picture, more beautiful life than I could have ever imagined. And some of you are there today. You think that you are so broken, you are beyond repair. You think that your life, your past, your relationships are so messed up that there is just no hope for you. I'm glad I have a church I can come to. The pastor's not that bad. I got some friends there. I like the music. But really, I don't know how much I can really change. And God says, no, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the God who heals. I'm the God who restores. I'm the God that puts things back together, that gives greater purpose, that gives greater meaning for a life, that delivers, that heals, that gives fulfillment. That is Jesus, Jehovah, the God who restores. You got to believe that today, church. Give him your life. We're healed to become more like him. Not our eternity is secure, hallelujah. But God, when he restores and delivers and heals, it's time for us to start making adjustments. Like it said in the scripture I just read in 1 Peter, he bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Because he died for me, because I've trusted him as my Savior, it's time for me to die to sin. I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm not headed that direction anymore. I'm headed towards God. I'm letting him lead me. I'm letting him make my decisions for me. I'm trusting in him, and I'm following after him. That is why he heals. That's his grace. So let him restore you today, church. Let him mend what's broken in your life. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.